by them. Let's lift up our Bibles, smartphones, iPads, whatever you have your Bible on, and make our prayer declaration as we get into the Word. Say this with me. This is my Bible, God's holy Word. This book is alive, and it's powerful. I read other books, but this is the only book that reads me. There are many opinions, but this is the only opinion that counts. Today, I declare by faith, I can do all it says I can do. I can be all it says I can be. And I can have all it says I can have. Today, I ask the Lord Jesus, the living Word, to take his written Word and personalize it for my life so I can leave here changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a question. Does anyone here have a problem with their hearing?
What?
Very funny. The older I get, the more I confuse words. Like when I hear the word hire, I hear fire, whatever it might be. A husband told his wife the other day, you need to get a hearing test, to which she replied, why would I need a hairy chest? Here's a better question. Does anyone here find it hard to hear God's voice? For example, if you have a decision to make and you think, maybe I should pray about it, and you pray, and you say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. God, what is your will for me in this situation? And sometimes a thought enters your head, and you'll wonder, was that God or was that me? And you'll, or was that my emotions? Is that what I want, or is that what the, or is the Holy Spirit talking to me? Or was it the heartburn from last night's pizza, you know, whatever? Wouldn't it be incredible or amazing if we could know exactly what God wants for each of our lives? I mean, imagine if you could ask God a question and you could get a clear answer immediately. Kind of like, I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember the magic eight ball. Well, wouldn't it be cool if there was one here? Oh, there is one. Look at that. It's almost like I had it planned. So you go to the magic eight ball, and you shake it, and you say, magic eight ball, should I date this person? And it says, concentrate and ask another time. There you go. But you ignore the voice and you don't concentrate and you just go ahead and start dating them anyway. Then you say, in 6 months, should I break up with this jerk? And it says, you may count on it. There you go. But wouldn't it be amazing if we could just ask God any kind of question we want. Kind of like, how many remember Angels in the Outfield?
Oh, yeah.
And the pitcher, he's not doing very good, but he brings a magic eight ball with him to the game, and he shakes it, and he says, will I win the game tonight? No. And so he shakes it again, which is what we normally do, and he says, will I win the game tonight? And it says, maybe, and he goes, yes! In other words, it should work out for him. And that is kind of what we do with God. We know when he tells us something, but we ignore it, and then we keep asking till finally we get our way. So you can hear the voice of God. Jesus made a promise to every one of us as believers. He tells us in John chapter 10, verse 2, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So he promises we can know his voice. All right? So how do we hear his voice? Well, there's a short story in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that all of us have taught our kids probably. They've heard it in City Kids. But I think it bears kind of a rehearing it, rehashing it over again. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So no one was hearing the voice of God in those days. No one was seeing any dreams or visions. And it was because Eli the priest was letting his sons have sexual intimacy at the very front door of the tabernacle or the church. And he knew about their actions, but he didn't do anything about it. Let me just say this, that I don't like to confront people, but a bad pastor will ignore things. A good pastor will confront it because he loves you and he wants you to be able to hear God's voice. So in this setting, we have leaders honoring themselves above God. They value their opinions and desires above God's word, and they were treating God as though he was common. So the story tells us in those days, with all that going on, that the word of the Lord was rare. And it was because they treated the Lord as common and the word of God became rare. So we live in a day where it's easy to get information, but very difficult to get truth. And I believe this verse can apply to us today. Truth is, we live in a culture where we have access to the word of God, but a lot of people's attitude towards it is we can take it or leave it, and then the Bible, God's word, becomes common to us. We have access to it, but it has no impact on our lives. So in that culture, and in our culture as well, the word of the Lord became rare. Now, there was an absence of the tangible presence of God because the Lord of the word had become common. And that's just a warning for all of us to make sure we don't let God become common in our lives. We need to understand if we want to hear from God, it takes time to get to know him and to think like he thinks. And so, which means this, we need to value his word. We need to value prayer. We need to value worship, not just here, but every day of our lives, so that as we do that, we become closer to him and learn his voice. So in verse 2, it says, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. I think his loss of sight was not only physical, but also a spiritual implication as well. And then it says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, there's still time. There's still time. I know you might have gotten off track in your life, but there's still time. You might have wasted some years chasing your own ways, doing your own thing. But I want you to know God brought you here today. You think you brought yourself, but the Holy Spirit brought you here today, and God wants to talk to you. And if you're watching online, there's still time for you as well. You're not watching this by accident. I heard someone say the other day, if you're not dead, God's not done. Okay, verse 3. So the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was, which was symbolic what Jim was talking about in incense, is symbolic of the presence of God. Wherever the ark went, that's where the presence of God went. So my heart today is to make it as simple as possible and how you and I can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and Jesus in our lives. So here's the first step to write down. Ask God to speak to you. If you have a decision to make, you don't just need to think about it or weigh the pros and cons, but ask God, what is your will? Would you speak to me? Now, let me just warn you for a moment. Asking God to speak to you sounds really easy, but before you pray and ask God to speak to you, I want to warn you, that's actually a dangerous prayer. And the fact that I would tell you that is to not ask God to speak to you is you might not want to hear what he has to say. Because often his will and his way is different than your will and your way. Now in this story, we know Eli is not obeying God. And the story tells us Samuel didn't know the Lord personally yet. So Samuel was doing religious duties and rituals in the temple, but he didn't have a relationship with the Lord yet. Which brings up a thought that a ritual is very different than a relationship. Maybe some of you here have grown up in church doing the religious rituals, doing good things, maybe going to church regularly, but not actually knowing the God who loves you. And Samuel was doing those kind of rituals, but didn't know the Lord or the God he was serving. So one night, let's clear my throat. Okay, so one night, he goes to bed, and he hears his name being called out, Samuel. And he thought the priest Eli was calling him. So he jumps out of bed, runs to Eli's bedroom, and says, Eli, what do you want? What do you want? And Eli says, I didn't call you. Thanks for waking me up. Go back to bed. So Samuel goes back to bed and falls asleep, and he hears his name, Samuel, being called again. So he jumps out of bed, runs into Eli's bedroom, and says, what do you want? And Eli says, that wasn't me. Go back to bed. So Samuel goes back to bed again, falls asleep, and he hears his name being called a third time, Samuel. So he jumps out of bed the third time, runs to Eli, and Eli says, he says to Eli, what do I do? What do you want me to do? And Eli realizes that the Lord was most likely speaking to Samuel. Now, let me just say this for a moment. Sometimes when you hear the voice of God, it may sound like your dad or someone familiar in your life. I was just talking to Josh Burnett after the first service, and he showed me a video of their son sleepwalking. And as he gets up, he hears a voice, and he says on the video, Dad, is that you? And it might have been the Lord, we don't know. But anyway, he remembers kind of sleepwalking, maybe, I don't know. But what was interesting to me is oftentimes, how many remember your kids getting up in the middle of the night, running to your bed? That's kind of like this story here. And Eli realizes that the Lord most likely was speaking to Samuel. So in verse 8, he says this. He says, then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Well, let's just pause for a moment. Let's all say this phrase prayerfully. I'll go first, and you can repeat it, all right? So say this with me. Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Your servant is listening.
Let's
say it one more time.
Speak, Lord.
Your servant is listening. Some of you are facing decisions that you need to make this week maybe, or even today, in some specific areas. So you need to pray this prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So that is what Samuel does. And he asks God, what are you trying to say to me? Speak to me. And what God did say to him, it was, first of all, let me just tell you what God didn't say to him. God didn't say, Samuel, you're doing a great job. That girl that you've had a crush on since you were 10 years old out in the playground, I just want you to know I'm going to let you marry her down the road when you're 21 and you're going to get married and get this beautiful five-bedroom house with a picket fence. You're going to make six figures, and it's just going to be, life will be just amazing. God didn't say that to him. In fact, God said something to him he didn't want to hear. God warns him that the priest Eli wasn't listening to him. He didn't discipline his rebellious sons and blaspheme the name of God. So God said to Samuel, I am going to shock all of Israel and carry out judgment, my judgment, against Eli and his entire family. Folks, you don't want to get to that place. So that's a hard message for a 12-year-old boy to hear, and that's why I'm telling you, don't ask God to speak to you unless you want to hear what he has to say to you. Now, some of you may be saying, I'm asking God to speak to me, and I'm not hearing anything. Well, we need to be reminded that just because we are not hearing anything doesn't mean that God isn't saying something. that God isn't speaking. The more you listen, the better you'll be able to recognize God's voice. There's a story, you can look this up on YouTube. I think it's just called The Listening Pilot, something like that. But there's this guy in Alaska. He says, I've got a six-seater Cessna, and he said, I'll take you boys to Anchorage. Get in the plane with me. I've had it checked out. It's in great shape. And we'll take a ride, and I'll get you there earlier than you thought you'd get there. And then he gets him up in the air, and then he tells him, by the way, I pass out in the clouds. But it was a beautiful, clear day. He said, but all of a sudden, there came clouds. And this pilot passes out. And the two passengers don't know how to fly a plane. So the guy in the back seat, behind the guy who's his friend, says, you got to get on the radio. You got to learn how to fly the plane. So they get on this radio, and they start crying out, Mayday, Mayday. And a few minutes later, finally, a guy from the emergency tower comes on, and he begins to say, I'm here. I got to find you on the radar. And finally, he does find him. And then this guy from the tower says, listen, my job is to get you home safely. But here's the deal. If you want to get home safe, you have to promise me you'll obey my voice. The guy goes on to say, you can't see me, but I can see you on my radar. And if you don't obey my voice, you're going to crash and burn and die. In fact, he goes on to say, you're about 4 minutes from a mountain. And if you'll do what I say, you won't crash into it. Follow my voice. And the novice pilot said, I never question. I have to follow your voice. We do this all the time with God. We question him all the time because he understood, this pilot did, he understood without this guy's voice, he had no way to get home. And I want you to understand today, without you listening to God's voice, you have no way to get home safely. And so the more you listen, the more you will recognize when he calls you by name and directs your steps. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could clearly hear God's voice every moment of every day? The good news is we can. Jesus promised that we could. So we learn to hear his voice by asking him to speak to us. Then the second step is this. Very simple. You teach this to your children. You listen to what he says. One of your favorite words as a parent is, listen to me. Right. Listen to me. Anyway, I'm thinking of it. Anyway, another story, but we'll go on. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, I will answer you. That's a promise. If you have a question, I want to answer it. If you need direction, I want to give it to you. If you need wisdom, I promise I will give it to you. So all you have to do is call out to me and tell me you need to know my will, and I need to know your direction. I need to know your ways. I want to call on you, and I know you will answer me. Why? Because our God is a relational God. He loves you. He loved Adam and Eve, created them for relationship and family, and he created you for the same thing. Our God is a relational God, and he is always speaking. The question is, are you and I listening? He's speaking all the time. So you and I say, okay, I'm going to ask God to speak to me, and I'm going to listen. But how will I know it's him? How will I know he's speaking to me? So let me give you the most reliable way to know God's voice. It's his word. His word is the most reliable way to hear his voice. So you need to remember this. His word is alive. His word is active. His word is powerful. His word encourages. It directs. It corrects. It guides. It comforts. It has an answer for every question you have in your life for the most part. As the people of God, we should feed on the word of God every day, take it into our bodies, souls, and spirits, and it renews our minds, and it becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and it will always lead you to God's will. Now, the most reliable way to hear from God is to listen to what he says through his word. But God will, and by the way, God will never contradict anything he's written or said in his word. So he speaks through quickening his word to you and me. That's when you're reading the word and all of a sudden a scripture leaps off the page for your life. He may speak to you through the wisdom of a friend. He may speak to you through a dream or a vision. He may speak to you through a prophetic word. He may speak to you through an angelic visitation. He may speak to you through an actual voice. He may speak to you through the wisdom of a friend. And you know as they're speaking to you, it's not them, but the Holy Spirit is actually speaking through them to you. He can speak to you through a sermon or a song. And he can speak to you through circumstances. If you're going one way, God might close the door and say, no, you're not going there. Or you may be going one day, another way, and God opens the door and lets you in another direction. So God will prompt you sometimes, and it's like you feel prompted to give some money to somebody. And you ask, is that God telling me to give my money away to somebody? And let me just say this. The devil probably didn't tell you to do that. The devil probably won't tell you to be generous, okay? So God will direct you through those kind of circumstances. God will give you direct you through his peace, probably through the absence sometimes of his peace about a certain situation, like buying a car or a house or going to Marshall's and buying shoes or clothes, and you know you shouldn't go through with that purchase. Man, it got quiet in here now. God is always speaking, but the question is, are you and I listening? So ask him to speak to you, then listen to what he says, and then you're going to ask, when is God going to speak to me directly? And the answer is, he's going to speak to you every time you need to hear what he wants to say to you. He'll speak to you in a holy moment, like at the altar, or in an ordinary moment in the car when you need to hear his voice. This has happened to me many times in my life. When I was a little boy around 8, a Sunday school teacher said to me, pointed right at me, put her finger in my face almost, and said, there's a call of God on your life. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I didn't think much of it. And then when I was 12, standing at a bus stop, going to junior high school, I heard an inner prompting in my spirit, a voice that said, I'm calling you to full-time ministry. And I knew, without a doubt, I would be in ministry someday. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that looked like. But I want you to know that's how often how God will speak to many of you. You'll be standing in Walmart talking to someone, and all of a sudden you'll have an inner voice or a prompting say to you, pray for them right now. And you look at them and say, can I just pray for you right now? And as you begin to pray, they begin to break down in tears because it is a word of God for them right then. And you're letting them know God saw it and he cares about them. I love this verse, how this verse describes it in Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. If you listen to the voice of God, you will hear him guiding you, giving you words to say, comforting you, giving you peace, and prompting you to do something or say something to someone. Our God is always speaking, and the question is, are you and I listening? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could hear God's voice at all times? And remember, Jesus promises we can. So, how does this work? First, we're going to ask him to speak to us. Secondly, we're going to listen to what he says. And thirdly, and this is probably the most important one, we're going to do what he tells us to do. Very simple, but if every Christian did this, the church would be on fire. It's a game changer if we'll just do what he says. And let me warn you, this is because what he tells you to do will often take great faith. I like what Jesus said when he replied to a question in Luke 11. He said, Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. In other words, We are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word. And some of you may be saying, I get it, Pastor Doug. I'm a Christian, but I haven't heard from God for a long time. So why isn't he speaking to me? Now, I don't know this for sure, but for some of us, it may be because it's because you or I didn't do the last thing he told us to do. Man, this is a quiet place today. Maybe he gave you an assignment before, and he said, here's what I want you to do, and you haven't done it yet. Now, let me just say this very sincerely. In the many years I've pastored, I've seen a lot of Christians who have a lot of Bible knowledge, but not a lot of obedience. And I know folks that can quote the Bible all day long and can hear it, but they are not necessarily doing it or practicing it. We could say there are many Christians educated beyond their level of obedience. So, one of the reasons you haven't been hearing from God in a long time is because you haven't been doing or haven't done the last thing he asked you to do. He might have told you to give something to someone and you didn't do it. Or maybe he prompted you to confess a sin and you didn't confess it. Or maybe he told you to serve somewhere in the church or community and you haven't done it yet. Or maybe he prompted you to invite someone to a church service, but you're too chicken to do it. Or maybe he prompted you to forgive the person who hurt you and asked you for forgiveness, but you're still holding a grudge. If you haven't heard from God in a long time, maybe it's because you didn't obey the last thing he told you to do. Now, the good news today is this. I know life can be complicated, and we have a lot of decisions to make. Wherever you need to make a decision, I want you to know, the good news is Jesus, the Good Shepherd, promises you can know his voice. So how do we do that? Well, what we have to do is turn down the volume of the world, because everything is shouting to get yours and my attention. You need to stop scrolling and stop clicking. Does anybody else have a problem with that? Good, thank you. I have a problem with it. I just want you to know, I love looking at Facebook reels and laughing and finding funny stories, and it's a kick in the pants for me. And then you can waste an hour, 2 hours, and you don't even know you're doing it. Wouldn't it be nice if you prayed that way? Oh, I was so lost in prayer. But that's not always the case. So we need to stop scrolling. We need to stop giving into what everybody else is telling us to do and demanding of us, and listen for the voice of God. There's an exercise I heard Rick Warren talk about where he sits outside on his patio or deck and he practices listening to his surroundings until he can hear the voice of God. He gets really quiet and starts listening to the variety of sounds that are around him. And then he counts the noises and begins to count them out until he hears 12 or more. And his rule is, if he hears a dog bark and then another dog bark, that counts just as one. So if a car drives by, it's just one. So you can count only everything one time. So yesterday morning, Lois and I sat on our deck, and I said to Lois, let's just listen to the different sounds that are around us. So the first thing we heard was a weed eater, then a car go by, then a dog bark, then a bird chirped, then a lawnmower, then the wind blew and leaves rustled. And then all of a sudden, all those sounds, we couldn't hear them anymore. What was amazing to me is that almost every day, those same sounds are there, but I rarely hear them. Why? Because I haven't slowed myself down and focused my heart enough to hear them. Now, I want you to know, God is speaking to every one of you today. It's through his word, through his Holy Spirit, and he wants to show you his love, his purpose, and his will for your life. God's always speaking, but the problem is we have not always been listening. So what do? We slow down and we take time to listen. It says this in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. There's one last story in 1 Kings 19 where Elijah, The prophet hears from God regularly and does everything God tells him to do. And he's taken down prophets and prophets of Baal, false prophets, and stood for God in so many ways. But all of a sudden, this one lady, Jezebel, says, since you took care of the prophets of Baal, I'm going to come after you and kill you like you did them, or like God did, really. And Elijah, he handles all the pressure until this woman comes after him. And he runs, and he hides in a cave. And as he's in this cave, he ends up where some of you might be right now. He was totally and completely exhausted and depleted. He was at the end. He didn't know if he could take any more. He needed a word from God. And I wonder if there's anyone here today who needs a word from the Lord. Well, we serve a God who loves you and wants to speak to you, and he may just give you a word today if you'll open your ears to hear. In this story, it tells us the wind blasted through the mountain and by the cave, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. It tells us a big earthquake came and shook, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. It tells us a fire raged, but the story tells us the Lord was not in the fire. Elijah was looking for God's voice in all the external things. But 1 Kings 19:12 says this, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. What's interesting to me is God was not in the extraordinary, he was in the ordinary. And if you want to get to know the voice of God personally and in a deep way, you got to listen for his whisper. And you've heard me say this before, and many other pastors have said this as well. Why does God speak in a whisper? Because when someone whispers, you have to lean in. You have to get close. I think God speaks in a whisper. So all of us will get rid of everything else. Lean in and hear his voice. And if you'll take the time to do that, he'll talk to you. All right, let's stand. Would you pray this simple prayer with me one more time? Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
One more time. Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord.
Speak,
your servant is listening. By the way, I didn't tell you the rest of the story, but the pilot who was listening to the guy in the tower, they made it home safely. On their way home, though, they went through rain and they went through storms, but he never stopped listening to the voice, and they landed safely at the airport. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you in this place and online are hurting, and you need a word of comfort. Some of you have lost hope, and you need encouragement. Some of you are trying to make a decision, and you need wisdom. Some of you are carrying a burden you were never meant to carry, and you need to cast it on the Lord because he cares for you. Now, if you want to hear God's voice better and more clearly, would you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I want to hear his voice more clearly. I want to know he's talking to me. Lots of us. So, Lord, I pray right now that every person here that's raised their hand, that when we leave this place today, Lord, we won't look always for you in the extraordinary. We'll look for you in the ordinary, in Walmart, in Safeway, in Swanson's, in Rite Aid, wherever it may be, in our cars, at our places of work. May we hear your whisper in our lives. Now, with every head still bowed, every eye closed, I want you to know the Lord's here to take some of you safely home. Maybe you don't know the Lord just like Samuel didn't, but you need to know him today. And the Lord is here to tell you, I want you to know my voice, but it starts with you having a relationship with me. And if you don't know Jesus today, or you did at one time, but his voice is distant now, now's your day to come back home to him. If that's you, raise your hand and say, that's me. I need Christ in my life. Anyone like them, raise them high so I can see him. I see that hand. I see that hand. Okay, at least two, maybe three. All right, now, let's all pray this prayer together. Say this with me. Nobody prays alone. Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die in my place. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins, all my mistakes, and all my failures. Come into my life and be my Savior, my Lord, my boss, my friend, and my king. And by your grace and by your power, I will serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I can tell you this, his voice is going to become more clear to you in the days ahead. If I can have the altar workers, prayer workers, come on up. If you need prayer for anything this morning as we close in a song, get some prayer. Tell somebody you came to know Christ. If you did, we'll help you get started on your walk with the Lord. And then if you did, sign up for getting water baptized. We have two next service, by the way. Okay, let's pray, or let's worship, and then we'll pray.